Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast, supported by Gardex. Industry-leading automotive products, including paint and interior protection, insurance products, and digital solutions. To find out more, visit GardexGroup.com.
Hello everyone, I'm Mike Brewer.
And I'm Andy Jay.
And I'm always in the back seat.
She is always there in the back seat. Welcome to the number one automotive podcast, Mr. Jay.
Number one.
I mean, steady on, guys.
Automotive podcast. It's the Wheeler Dealer Podcast, and we've got an amazing guest lined up today. But before we get to our guest, don't forget to follow us on all forms of social media. We can follow Mrs. B at Mrs. B.
You are flying up.
You're flying up the charts, Michelle.
You've almost got
as many followers as our guests, but I don't think any of us can come close to that.
No.
Mr. Andy J.
I still hide as much as I can.
Mr. Andy J is on all forms of social media. I'm Wheeler Dealer on Facebook and Mike Brewer on Twitter and Instagram. So please do get in touch, because we put this podcast together for you so you can enjoy it. Right, now, I'm excited by this one for two reasons. Number one is the space that we're sitting in.
Yes.
It's quite nice.
We are surrounded by some cool cars right now and some epic vans.
Okay, well, thank you. This is One Automotive. They're based in Warwick, Leamington Spa in Warwick. One Automotive is a business that me and my shell... Me and my shell have jumped into. This was my cathedral. But we've turned it over to a little business, and we're selling vans and cars out of it, and it's really good.
Yes.
I love it. So if you're looking for a car or van, you're in the area, please come down to One Automotive. Look us up online.
Come on down.
It's worth pointing out, Mike, that there has been a bit of a storm. So if our dear listeners hear some crazy background noise, in actual fact, storm is the perfect thing to bring into our guests.
It's on brand, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think that'd be Freddie rushing for Mrs. B's Bakes. That will be the
noise.
I like that.
Yeah, I am eyeing those. Right,
rugby now. Tackling people on the way to the food.
Body checked.
Yeah.
Right, now, I've been a fan of this guy for a few years now. So I discovered, we're going to get to his name in a minute. I discovered this guy a few years ago simply because of the ridiculousness and craziness of what he gets up to online. He's got like 3 million subscribers on the YouTube thing. Yes, he's got a couple of channels on YouTube.
How many? One
of
them, is this the best build-up you've
ever
had?
I mean, it's nuts. He gets millions of views.
This is too much.
But there is a reason, right? Because we're going to get to that reason in a minute, because it's really funny. So, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together and please welcome to our Wheeler Dealer Podcast, I'm honoured to say all the way from America, Tavarish.
Yay!
How are you? Hello! Well, let me tell you, this is really surreal, because when you said, "Oh, I've been a fan of this guy," that's not the way this works, by the way.
Well, it is.
Because I've been a fan of you. I've watched every Wheeler Dealers episode at least 3 times.
And laughed. Thought, no, I wouldn't do it that way. I'll do it this way.
No. So every time we...
There's that rain.
Oh, there's the rain, on cue. Oh,
yeah. Welcome to springtime in England, all the way from Florida.
That is proper rain.
Well, tell you what, in Florida, it also sometimes rains.
Yeah.
So this is totally fine.
Yeah,
metal roof, and
you
that's...
You get rain but warmth. This is rain but cold.
It's okay, you know? I got my hoodie, which is, I'm repping Matt Armstrong's merch.
Oh, yeah, look at that. That's very good. I love Matt Armstrong as well. He's another YouTuber that I've got a bit of a man crush on.
Yeah.
But I can't seem to, you'd have to throw a bucket of water to separate you two at the moment. You're like two dogs in a park that have found each other, and you've sort of just locked in the two of you. It's quite funny.
That imagery.
What a phrase. Right, so if you don't know, let me explain, right? So Tavarish, what is Tavarish? What does Tavarish do, and how ridiculous is Tavarish? I think first and foremost, what we need to do is just clear up the name.
Yeah.
So, I know you as Freddie.
Yeah.
But online, you're known as Tavarish. Yeah. So please explain.
So Tavarish was, I was originally born in Russia. Back then, it was the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
Tavarish in Russian means like friend or, you know, dude, guy, yeah, something like that. And I came up with it when I was 12, and I couldn't come up with anything more clever, so it stuck. So right, that's where Tavarish came from. The reason I look like this is because my father's from Dominican Republic, so I'm a bit of a mix.
Okay.
Russian is my first language, but I went over to the States when I was 3. And I've lived there ever since.
But you live in Florida now, which yeah, is I'll follow your exploits in Florida with the yeah, sunshine always on your back.
Yes.
But you actually lived in a colder part of America first.
Yes. So I lived in New Jersey for most of my life. So this weather is like, I'm totally used to it.
Okay. So it's just like being at home to you.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's not like great, but like, you know,
it's not great.
Yeah. You know,
it's not, to be fair, he's got a point, Mike. It's not great.
As me and Michelle have just come back from Florida, I can vouch for yeah, it's not great.
Yeah.
It's a winter. Anyway, so what Freddie does, okay, so I'm going to call him actually Tavarish, if that's
sure,
okay.
That's fine.
So in Russia, the people go, hey, we're going to hang out with my dude Tavarish. And that means I'm going to hang out with
my friend. That Russian accent, Mike. That was bang on.
Yeah. You're going to hang out with Tavarish.
With Tavarish, yes. Yeah.
That's the way it works.
Yeah. So it's like comrade, friend. Like it's not.
I like it.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, like I also spell it incorrectly, so it's supposed to be like T O V A R I S C H. Like yeah, if you're pronouncing it phonetically, but like
nobody would understand that.
Nobody would understand yeah, that. So I was like, I'll just do this and whatever. It stuck.
Well, it worked, and it's.
I guess.
Yeah. Right. So let's go. Let's go to the beginning. So there you are. Right. You're a kid from Russia, New Jersey, Dominican Republic, dad. You're now in Florida.
Yeah.
Cars.
Watching Wheeler Dealers.
Yeah, watching Wheeler Dealers.
Yep. Yeah.
Please absolutely, tell me I inspired you to fall in love with cars. Where did the love of cars come from?
Okay, so I'm gonna do a quick 25 minutes on why Wheeler Dealers.
Okay, this is good.
We've got PowerPoint if you need it.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
let me get the slideshow out.
So Wheeler Dealers has been one of the biggest inspirations for me as a person that like goes and I'm not going to call myself a car builder because there are people who do this like professionally, but like I screw around with cars, you know, I put them back together. Sometimes I don't have bolts left over, you know, that's nice. So
how like, old were you though when you were doing
so
that?
When I started, I was probably like 17, 18.
Well, okay. So you could drive in America at that age,
yes,
can't you?
Yeah.
Okay. So what was your first car?
My first car was a 1998 Nissan Maxima.
Right. Don't tell anyone that ever again.
Oh, listen. Everyone.
What are you
needs
doing, man?
That.
What are you doing? You own a P1. We're going to get to it.
Yes.
You don't tell people that you started life in a Maxima.
Oh, absolutely.
That's, no, you don't. That's the most embarrassing thing. That's like walking into walking onto the stage at a pop concert, being the lead man in a band, realizing that you've forgot to put your trousers on.
Well, I mean, it all depends on what you
it's got, a vibe,
what you're working with there.
Some people would pay for it.
Nobody rocks a Maxima. Honestly, I've lived in America quite a while, and I know what Nissan, which is quite cool. It's Nissan. Maxima. Nobody rocks one of those. They're hideous things. It's like the kind of thing that Cranston drove around on Breaking Bad, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but hold on, he may have earned a pound note out of that.
He didn't. Hold on a minute. Yeah. Was there a profit?
You're jumping.
Well, was there a profit on the way?
Well, here's the thing. So,
hang on, Mike, we're asking you if you're a drug dealer in your youth.
Basically.
We're asking our star guest, did you deal drugs?
Mike, I love you, but you're wrong. Right. So so the Maxima was actually one of the fastest four-door cars you can buy at the time. It had a V6. It was available with a manual. It was about 2,900 pounds, which is like, I don't know, 1,500, 1,400 kilos. And it had 190 horsepower, 205 torque, and it was legitimately faster than any other car, like even some low-level sports cars of the day. So in the older version, they call it a 4DSC, which is a four-door sports car. And then you can do stuff like modification, which I did. I bought an automatic. I manual converted it. Then I did a 3.5 swap. And then, you know, that went from 190 bhp to 265. And then I did all the other stupid 18-year-old stuff, like put a stereo in it and loud exhaust and these hideous wheels and whatever.
Okay, so
can you drive stick?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Here, I just heard a humongous, gigantic check drop into his account from this end.
I was going to say, this episode
that was
brought
just
to
the
you
best
by.
Yeah. This episode was brought to you by.
I'm buying one now.
I know.
If I want to sell a 1998 Nissan Maxima, I'm your guy.
I know. I've still got the horn for one now. I'm going to do one on Wheeler Dealer.
There you go.
He
can make hundreds of dollars.
You can make tens of dollars.
Yeah. No, no, dozens of dollars.
Dozens of dollars. Right, so your first car was Nissan Maxima, and you've sold it very well.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
No, you did sell it very well.
I think you defended it well.
You defended it well. You spoke me into it.
Okay, yeah, you should try it. You should try it.
No, I'd rather not.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't.
No, I shouldn't. Right, so then we got a Nissan Maxima. So this is the first time you pick up the tools and you're wrenching on the car.
Yes.
17 years of age.
Yes.
You're thinking, fly boy, I can do this. Mm-hmm. I can work on my own cars. I don't need to take it to a garage. How did it evolve into you picking up a camera at some point and turning it into, I'm going to show people how to fix up a car?
Well, the quick elevator pitch is I did all that work in my parents' driveway. I mean, the manual conversion I did with a $30 set of tools that I got from, you know, a local Pep Boys.
Like Harbor Freight.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this was pre-Harbor Freight. So, you know, half the tools broke, but I got it done. You know, the car ran just.
Yeah.
But, you know, after that, I started doing work for other people in the Maxima forums. And then that evolved to, like, Lexus forums because I got, like, a Lexus SC300. Yeah. Another car that was, you know, cool but really cheap.
Yeah, an old manish.
Yeah.
But well done. So you went from...
Mine was fast, okay? Mine was... I got a 2JZ... I had a 1JZ in it, and it made 330 to the wheels. Like, it was pretty good.
That's pretty good. 330 to the wheels means 330 finest horsepower
going
to the rear wheels for those out there who are listening and going,
like,
what did he just say?
This feels like a brewer roast at the moment.
It's great. It's a bit of a roast.
Can I ask a question? Did you study anything? In particular at school?
No.
Right, so you there was no direction you were going in?
No, absolutely not. Right, I knew that I wanted to do something with cars. I knew that I didn't want to be like a mechanic because frankly it was thankless work because if you're doing stuff for other people, I was charging next to nothing. I'm talking about like $80 for a suspension install. It was like $600 for like an engine swap and stuff like that. And you know, to me that was like big money, but I ended up spending like 3 weeks doing an engine install, and I'm like, hey, if this engine falls on me or something, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
So then I thought, okay, what if I made like a website that people could come and ask me questions and do stuff like that? And I thought, would people want to pay money for this? And the answer to that question is no. No, people would not want to pay money for that. But it allowed me to build a website and then start writing about like the stuff I did. So I started flipping cars.
Right.
So I bought cars that were neglected, and then based on a show I might have been binge watching at the time, I started doing like little modifications, and then you know, and then selling them on for a profit sometimes because. Yeah. In the real world, when you're not Mike Brewer, oh my God, this is like, it does not work.
It's quite tough.
Yeah. Hold out your hand means like, I just lost $1,000.
Yeah, it's quite tough.
Yeah. So I did a bunch of stuff. Like I had a BMW M3, Mazda RX-7, all that stuff. And I took a bunch of pictures and then I started writing about it. And then I thought, okay, well, I see these websites like Jalopnik and Car and Driver and stuff like that. And they always had, you know, people who are about my age and they're writing about cars. So I was like, I need to get into that world. So Jalopnik was one of the biggest car sites at the time. They had this open forum called Opposite Lock and anybody could write anything. So I started writing about my flips and I called it Art of the Flip. And, you know, each car was its own, like, you know, 10,000 word tome. And, you know, I was really verbose and I'm like, oh, people are going to love this. And, you know, it was okay. It did pretty well. And I realized I got, you know, a few thousand views on this.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And then when they saw that, when Jalopnik saw that, they put that from their open forum to their actual, like, the front page of Jalopnik.
Yeah.
And then it got, like, 100,000 views. And I'm like, oh, my, what do I do with all this power?
Yeah.
You know? So what's interesting about that is that allowed me to understand what a
Trumpism is.
Yeah, kind of.
Because you went from the art of the flip to running the front page.
Exactly.
You're on your Trumpism path.
Exactly. Straight to the top. Yeah, I wasn't actually making any money though. So when I was when I saw those kind of numbers, it allowed me to manage an audience and see their expectations in real time because there's a comment system. So then I sent a letter to the editor of Jalopnik, and it was like an open letter. I said, hey, you guys don't have anything that, you know, that I'm doing right now. I would love to be in your world. And, you know, like a few weeks later, Matt Hardigree, who was the editor at the time, he said, we actually have some budget why don't we do this? And the budget was like $500 a month. I'm like, I don't care. I would do it for free.
Yeah.
So then I started doing this thing called car buying. So carbuying.jalopnik, it was like this little sub-blog. But all I did every day was just write about, here's a crazy luxury car you can buy for the price of a Honda Civic or something like that. Yeah. You know, these depreciated cars. And then that allowed me to do things like do car reviews. You know, I went on like a McLaren drive. I've done like lots of like journalist-y, like capital J journalist things. And then that allowed me into that world. And at the time, I was also writing with Doug DeMuro. And Doug DeMuro was at Jalopnik. And Doug started doing videos to like supplement his articles. And then I thought to myself, like, if Doug's doing that, like, it looks pretty simple. He just has like, you know, a GoPro and, a tripod and a car. Like, I could do that. So I started experimenting with different things, and I thought, okay, well, what if I did stuff like I did with my writing and just talked about the cars I worked on? So then I started doing that. It sort of, you know, like eked its way into getting subscribers and viewers and all that stuff. And
were you still buying the odd car as well?
Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's buying and selling cars, flipping cars.
So, so now I just buy them and keep them.
Yeah,
so
talking. So this is on the path, though.
Your path, though. Was you building your pot of money up and getting
sort of
expanding to?
I took it as a It's a risk, definitely, because I wasn't making much money doing this, but I wanted into that world, and I knew that it would give me content for my articles.
Yeah.
So I would buy cars, try to fix them. Sometimes they're not worth fixing, but I still write about them anyway. And one of the things I like about YouTube, what I do now, is that even if something bad happens, you can monetize your misery.
Yeah.
So, like, which is great. If something bad happens, like, oh, great, did we get that on camera, you know?
Yeah.
And I assume it's the same on TV. It's like, oh, my God. But... like, at that point, I decided I should go into YouTube full time. And then it was a great risk for me. And I think I bought Doug DeMuro's Aston Martin V8 Vantage.
How long ago was that then when you first
got in? That was 2016.
Wow.
2016. So it's not that long ago.
Yeah.
So hold on. 2016, you would have been a young man and you just went and bought yourself an Aston Martin.
Yeah, but it was $36,000. So it was about the price of a mid-grade Toyota Camry.
Yeah, but it's still a lot of money, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
It's a huge amount of money.
So that car was the first nice car that I ever bought. I had a four-year goal for myself for that car, and I still have this whiteboard at my mom's house when I still lived there that I said, Vantage by 2014, and then 2016 rolls around, and now I got it. So I was 2 years late, but who cares?
That is amazing. So you get yourself an Aston Martin.
Yeah.
You start to – it wasn't broken, though, was it?
No, but it had some miles on it. I think it had, 50,000 miles on it. Doug's already made, a ton of videos on it because that's what he did. But I thought,
how do you monetize that, though? How? Mm-hmm. I mean, don't give your secrets away.
Sure.
Whatever you do. But, how
carry on.
Yeah. I'm an open book when it comes to that.
Right, okay. Yeah. So, how do you get from buying an Aston Martin, putting it on YouTube, to getting that to generate an income or some kind of income where you think, oh, that's working. I'll go and buy another one or I'll go and buy something else.
Yeah.
You better listen to these top tips, Mike.
What are you trying to say? I haven't made it. Jesus, Michelle.
No, that's never good. I have massive imposter syndrome. But with the Aston Martin, it was interesting because there's a lot of stuff that Doug didn't cover. And I thought that, doing mechanical work, just working on it and demystifying a lot of the stuff, because Aston Martin is it's a high-end brand, but these cars were cheap enough that you could work on them yourself. You could do an oil change and things like that. You don't have to go to the dealer and pay $600 for an oil change. You can do it yourself for $100. So I figured that's what I want to do. And so I did stuff like my first video that did a million or more views was I took the key fob from an Aston Martin. I had an extra one, and I knew that it was a Volvo key fob underneath. They just wrapped leather over it. So I just I ripped the leather off, and underneath it just said Volvo. So that was my thumbnail, and then I got millions of views, and then it's just me talking about all the parts bin stuff. It's oh, that's Jaguar, that's Ford, this is $25, this is So that was an in for me in terms of getting viewership. It didn't go sky high. It didn't really do anything for me long term, but I think that gave me an idea of how I could reach higher numbers of people. And it was like shock factor. You have to have, you know, like a beginning, middle, and end to a story. You have to have some sort of a conflict or just like a knowledge gap. And a knowledge gap would be, you know, for lots of people, you know, younger than I am, would be called clickbait, you know? So like you just have a knowledge gap. So when people are scrolling, they go, I want to see that.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
You know? So based on that, that's when, you know, I started buying buying cars that were in bad shape and then seeing if I could fix them as a challenge to myself. Not to see if there was like a profit in it, because realistically, not really a profit in a lot of the cars that I do.
I suppose the one that resonates up until now, because we're going to get to the big one in a minute, but the one that resonates is the 675, isn't it?
Yes.
That's the sort of one that was the biggest sort of risk and gamble that anyone can take. Just that is a very well-known series of videos out there. That was I still think, a bonkers, stupid thing to do.
Oh, yeah,
a ridiculous gamble. Yeah. But for the audience out there who don't know what we're talking about, run us through it.
Sure. So, you know, I had at that point, my channel had some, you know, subscribers. I think I was at 1 million by then. But I decided to buy a McLaren 675 LT that looked like a crumpled piece of paper. Like, it was hit in the front and the back. The engine was shifted into the firewall. One of the turbos was blown. A tree went through the back of it. It had carbon tub damage. It didn't run. I decided, this is the car for me.
So that's the bit that I don't get. You know, this is a car, right? I remember when you bought it, right? So this is a car that every single person on the planet would walk away from.
Yeah.
But it appears on what's the car buying website that you go onto?
It's like a Copart or
Something like that. It appears on a website with all its description, loads of pictures of this absolutely rolled over on its ass.
Do you just go with your gut feeling then?
No, 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 I don't think it is. I think it is. I think it's genuine stupidity.
No.
It might be. So it's a combination of the two.
Continuing.
Honestly, if anyone wanted to evolve himself out of money, you know, like the Darwin Award. You know the Darwin Award? You know where people evolve themselves by getting, you know, in a chair, putting balloons and then taking off into the sky, and then they realise, you know, oh shit, I've got to get down. So they pop a balloon and they die. Right? That's the Darwin Awards. Well, Freddie's doing the monetary equivalent of that, which is buying a blooming supercar. Mm-hmm. It's a 675 Longtail, by the way.
It's a supercar that's had a fight with Groot.
Yeah.
But this one has got the tub is damaged, right? So that's a single piece of carbon fibre.
Mm-hmm. But he likes the challenge.
And then you hit the tours and you go, I'm gonna turn this into a series of YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna basically bankrupt everything around me just to make this work.
But there must be some business sense to it as well. Because at this point you've got million.
Because he's still got the car. That's the bit that we're gonna get to.
If you think
this is a story, wait until the next bit.
I'm looking forward to the
wait
until
the next bit.
But the point I'm trying to make is, so you've got 1 million subscribers at this point.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how kind of YouTube works on a monetization sense, but I'm assuming you are now earning a living through YouTube.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. So I've been doing it full time for a few years at that point.
Yeah.
And I've done some cars that were, you know, gambles, but not anything to this degree.
But like with 1 million subscribers, are we talking about salary level money that you're coming in?
Oh yeah. 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 Right. I mean, the dirty little secret about YouTube is that the money, if you're good at it, if you're good and you can monetize things in a niche that has like a higher CPM, cars tend to have a pretty good CPM. And CPM, for anybody who's not a geek and doesn't understand YouTube speak, it's just basically the rate that you get paid per 1,000 views.
Right.
So that can be pretty good.
Yeah.
And it's good enough that you can buy, you know, supercars that are in really bad shape.
Yeah, trashed.
Yeah. Did this car get you more sponsors then?
Yes. So it's whenever I buy a car, I always want to line up a few companies that go, okay, well, we'll take care of this, we'll take care of this, right. we'll take care of this. This car was, initially, I got a sponsorship with Auto Tempest, and Auto Tempest is like one of my best sponsors. I don't want to step on any toes here, but
you can say what you like.
Yeah,
honestly. So if Auto Tempest has been supporting you, we love them.
They're really good people. I know the owner personally, and he's done a bunch of stuff with my show Car Trek and all that stuff.
See, that was the point I was making to Mike. That this isn't a dumb move. Because Freddie's got this nailed. He's got the sponsors lined up. He's got the money that's coming in.
Okay.
I know we're coming in. I know what we're building.
No.
Everybody come.
Can I ask a question? When you have a sponsor and they're paying you X amount, can that go up and up and up?
Mitch, are you the tax man? What are you?
No,
I'm the IRS.
Understand how it
works. You're delving deep into finances. You don't get inspired.
Oh, no.
Keep it personal.
So this is, I am 100%, you know.
I just wondered.
Perfectly fine to talk about anything.
This is what I have to live with her. This is what it's like every night when I come home.
Oh, this is fine. This is
what
you guys. You guys should come over my house, just hang out by the pool.
We want to know exact money. How much money? How much?
I will open my QuickBooks right now.
What I mean is, when you have a sponsor, it grows and grows.
Yeah.
Does the money grow and grow with the sponsor?
Sometimes the answer is yes and no. So the deal I had with Auto Tempest is that they would pay me a lump sum, and I vastly underestimated the amount of money that it would take to put that car together. So that money was gone that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I bought the car, and then I had some money to buy some parts, and then after that I'm like, oh shit, I need like a lot more money. Like, this is crazy. So this car, when it was brand new, it was something like $400,000.
Yes.
And I remember people like Shmi, Tim, he got one of those brand new, and I thought to myself, like, I could never afford one of these cars. But this thing is in pieces and it's been hit, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take a gamble. I'm going to gamble everything I have, and we're gonna make this work. So over the next 2 years, I got this thing down to the carbon tub. I found a guy who was actually down my street that repairs like carbon fiber, like bike frames and like high-end boats, like racing boats, like America's Cup boats and stuff. And he did the carbon work. Like, he repaired it exactly as a McLaren would have done it. And then we put everything back together. We did a custom color. I mean, we put this car back together exactly as McLaren would have done it. I didn't have all the jigs and tools. We measure everything 3 times. The car was like pin straight. Oh no. Oh no.
That is the text.
That is the Auto Tempest.
Yeah.
Just raising the value.
Yeah, exactly.
Raising the value. That was them. Raising the value.
Always listening.
That was really good. Hold on a minute. There is a burning question that's in my brain. I need to get it out. Did you spend more than $470 or $1,000 it would have cost to go and buy one in the first place?
No. So all in, I was in it with the price of the car, $241,000. $241,000.
Nobody's ever got one for that money ever.
No. And also, by the time I was done, my car was had a custom interior,
custom paint job,
and then I put a MSO roof scoop. That if you were to do that through McLaren, that would have cost you $100,000. So I did all that on my own.
So you've saved about $300,000.
Did you meet interesting people to help you do the vehicle?
Oh, yeah. So that's another
new connections.
Thing. So it's an entire networking exercise.
Obviously, you can lean upon those people with the next project that's come up.
So that's a learning curve.
It's kind of making sense now, isn't it, what he's saying?
Penny's dropping, isn't it?
But yeah, the penny is dropping, but let's get to the... Because, you know, we could be here for hours.
Have you sold the car?
No, he's got
it. No, I'm never selling it.
He's never going to sell it.
Never selling.
No, that's a forever car.
It's internet famous. Wow. You're saying it's a forever car. If someone phoned you up and said, I'll give you $1 million for it.
Hey, sold.
You're actually not selling it.
Hold on, Jane. There you go. Yeah,
that's silly.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Wheeler Dealer podcast brought to you by the Garlex Group. Garlex offer a range of award-winning automotive products, including paint and interior protection, insurance products, and digital solutions. Whether you're buying your next car or you're an automotive dealer, look no further. Go with Garlex. To find out more, visit garlexgroup.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more.
That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast with Mike and Andy.
Let's get to the big one, right? Okay. Yeah. So the way to get to the big one is...
We need the rains to come again, don't we?
Yeah. We do need the rain. Yeah. Very apt. Is like this. Right. So now Freddie has monetized his YouTube channel with the 675. So he's generated an income.
Yeah, his gut was right.
There's the money's coming in.
Yep.
At the same time, he goes and buys a house. Mm-hmm. So he's building his future, buying a house. He's buying new camera equipment, no doubt. He's investing in himself. Uh-huh. And he's got a little pot of money, right, that he's like, oh, I've got a little nest egg here. I've got a little bit of fall-back-on-myself money
for the future.
You can see where it's going. So what I'm going to do with this money is I'm going to jump back on Copart.
He's a bit like me. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to see what's out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because there was a video that went viral during this amazing hurricane that happened down in Florida.
Yeah.
Of a beautiful garage that had a Phantom Rolls Royce.
Yes.
And a beautiful, unbelievable hypercar that both me and you, well, I would have chopped a small finger off to own one.
Yeah.
A McLaren P1.
Yeah.
Right. The last time I see a McLaren P1 was in a dealership in Newport Beach, California.
Yeah.
And it was advertised for $2,900,000.
Yeah. So
just a shade under $3 million.
Right.
Right. For this hypercar. Mm-hmm. So there's this video online of this McLaren sitting in the garage, and then the rain starts and the sea starts.
Yeah.
And it starts filling up. The garage starts filling up.
Yeah.
Now, let's be honest here. Mm-hmm. It's not filling up with just like any old river water.
No, this it's seawater.
Seawater and sewage that's coming out.
Oh, yeah. It's all the worst stuff. Yeah.
It's all the worst stuff on the planet, right? That's swirling around. And not only does it pick this little McLaren up, it also shoves it through the garage door. Uh-huh. And then it
takes it for a surf, doesn't it?
It takes it for a little journey. You can find this on the internet.
It floated pretty good, didn't it?
It floated really well. It's got a carbon fiber top like those race boats.
It's like an amphicar, basically. Yeah, like an
amphicar. And it floated off down the streets or rivers now of Florida, bouncing into every single thing that you could throw at it. Yes. It smashed into it. Yeah. Right, now, I've seen the video. Mm-hmm. I see the car advertised several times because nobody on the planet is dumb enough.
Wasn't that a bit of you, Mike?
Especially somebody not dumb enough to buy it who's worked really hard and built a little bit.
Got a nest egg.
Got a nest egg. Yeah. Something nice to fall back on.
Put some money away.
He likes a challenge.
And then you think to yourself, this is going to be either the best idea in the world. I'm going to buy a McLaren P1, of which I'm never going to get. Never another opportunity. However, I could be buying the world's most glorious paperweight.
Yes, absolutely.
And I've been watching the video since, and I want you to tell the truth.
Yeah.
I've been watching the video since. I'm still in the camp that you bought a beautiful paperweight.
So, yeah, I think I'm probably there with you, but there's...
Should we tell people how much money you paid for this car?
Yeah. So I reveal that. It's $575,000.
You say that too easily.
No. Yeah.
So that, that trips off the tongue too easily. You've got to say it with pain. And
you ready, Michelle? 500. The only thing we bought, like we bought a house right, that comes near to that. He bought a car
that's
that doesn't work.
Absolutely trashed car.
I need a YouTube
$575,000.
Although
that's about bargain.
£450,000.
If you've been listening really closely.
But he's clever at what he does.
Well, is he?
We've got to listen.
We're just about to find out.
No, he's clever.
But for the listeners that are being really clever and listening very closely, they'll be able to work out what Mike values and possibly insures his own body as. Because, Mike, you said you'd sacrifice a little finger for little a McLaren P1.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of me. I can chop a little bit off.
So here's a...
You don't sleep at night.
Here's what you think. Come on, here's what I think. Let's
You don't get anywhere in life without taking risks.
Well, thank you. I'm so on my wavelength.
In front of some guru.
I'm not selling
you very much.
Webinar.
I'm sorry.
We're going to have an ice bath in a minute.
Get somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Mish.
But I mean, you know better than most people that you have to... I mean, you work...
I've gambled all my life. All my life.
You've worked your ass off to get to where you are, and you are like at the top of like the automotive industry right
Yes,
now.
And I worked my ass off to get there, and I took gambles along the way.
Absolutely.
But never once in my life did I think of taking a $575,000 gamble on a car that sat at the bottom of the ocean.
Yes. Well, the ocean
Hold on,
was...
you was going to buy a car, and we was going to live
and
in it.
Every single video you're doing on that car now, mm-hmm. every part you take off of it, mm-hmm. there is a whiff that comes through the monitor, through your screen, through your phone.
A smell-o-vision.
And it's a smell-o-vision of shit and degradation and nastiness and ocean.
Mm-hmm. But they're sponsors.
And you bought
they're sponsors.
That.
Yes.
And viewers.
And viewers.
Yeah, so the way I think about it is... my channel only grows, and my sort of notoriety and my because I don't care about clout or anything like that. Like I'm not into myself, but like I want this is a business, right? And I want to get myself out there. And I've noticed that like since the 675, I haven't really challenged myself.
Right. And this is the biggest challenge.
Exactly. So when I saw that, like I saw that same video, just like everybody did, and I saw that McLaren, you know, floating out into the storm. And then it went up for sale. And what happened was interesting. So it went up for sale first time, and it no-sailed at $400,000. And then it went up for sale again, and it no-sailed at $398,000. So at this point, it went up for sale a third time. And I'm thinking, the universe is calling to me at this point. And at the third sale, they had a buy-it-now of $600,000. And I'm like, oh, well, it's a lot of money. But maybe I could make it work because you're gonna love this too. After that 600,000, the universe also was like, "Listen, idiot! Like you should probably buy this car." So the buy it now went to 575. Now I do okay for myself. I don't have $575,000 in the bank to buy stupid supercars. So I went to a friend who was pretty well off. And I said, "Hey, do you know anybody that could lend me $500,000, like a bank that could lend me $500,000? And he was like, "Actually, I do." And in 3 days, based on me showing them a picture of this car, they gave me a loan for the entire amount of this car.
Oh, wow.
You have bankrupted.
Well, I put all my cars, all the nice cars, as collateral for this car. And I'm a person that, like, I never finance a car in my life. And this car, I'm like, all right, let's do it. It's a gamble, but who cares?
It's going to be the best automotive content on YouTube for the next 2-3 years.
It's smashing it already. What, like 3.5 million views in 11 days?
Exactly.
Incredible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everyone is obsessing over this content. The video is just insane. You taking the car apart and revealing bits of it each day, watching you pour the battery plug out.
Oh, yeah.
And as soon as you pull, which is a nice little component inside the car, you pull it out and immediately you go, "Oh,
yeah, yeah.
The smell.
That was a smell. Smell. Yeah, absolutely.
The smell is disgusting. Yeah. By the way, Michelle, it's a hypercar, so it's got a V8 engine, plus it's got a battery.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think the battery, just the battery alone, is for his car, which has been at the bottom of the ocean, so it's worthless, the battery? He's got to buy another one.
How much?
Last I checked, it was $160,000.
Just for the battery. $160,000.
Yeah, but no one else is doing what he does. That's why he's, doing.
It's like proper eye-watering.
There is somebody back at McLaren right now, right? Isn't there? There's somebody in Woking, down in the factory, sitting in McLaren, just behind his desk, the parts manager, director, whatever he is,
Watching it, he's just licking his lips.
I've so got him.
To be fair, you're not the typical P1 owner. Can I ask? I've got a couple of quick questions. The first one is about the original owner of the car.
Yes.
Right? Who's obviously now sold this car for $575,000. But
surely there was insurance and stuff, right? So that's interesting. That car got purchased for $2 million 10 days before the storm hit.
Oh.
So insurance paid him out very well. So he made out great. The insurance took a bath on it.
Sold it.
So the insurance, they thought, we're going to get all this press on it, and it's going to go crazy. It's going to be a million plus or whatever. And they couldn't get anybody to bid on it because it's a hybrid. It's been at the bottom of the ocean. It looks like crap and all this stuff. And then, like, I come along, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to buy that car because I'm smart. So,
you know, if that insurer is really smart, they're going to get involved with sponsoring you for future stuff for this project, aren't they?
Listen,
of course they are.
There's a lot of people that could get involved, but they probably won't because they're like, yes, I don't know, this guy's going to kill himself.
I think this is right. This is your golden opportunity, undoubtedly.
Yeah.
Right. Somebody that would sit on the board of McLaren right now, like, I don't know, Martin Whitmarsh or Ron Dennis from old, or someone is listening or watching this podcast right now. This is a little plea and appeal for you to say, come on, give us some parts.
Well, you're in the UK.
You're in the UK.
Give us some parts.
Well, why not? I mean, that's the reason why I'm here.
Yeah, they're going to have some stuff sitting at the back of the factory. Development stuff. They never made it to a proper car.
Yeah,
they're going to have some stuff.
Parts from cars that they crashed already.
Exactly.
Mike, if only you knew a notable McLaren
F1 mechanic that was running the race team for a while.
Do you think there's a possible connection there? I can think of someone. I'm thinking,
That's not.
There
is a tune.
That's
not a bad shout, Andy J. If I could hook Elvis up with Tavares and he could introduce him to somebody at McLaren and he gets a wishbone out of it. Or
we could all go to Woking together.
That'd be cool.
You know?
Yeah, that'd be very cool.
Field trip.
Let's just go into... So you never answered the question.
Okay.
The question was, and just answer the question as honest as you possibly can.
Yes.
Have you bought a McLaren P1... Or have you bought a paperweight?
So, a bit of both.
Will it drive?
I will say it right here with extreme confidence. It's going to do everything a P1 does, and possibly more. So, I tend to be ambitious when it comes to these projects. I don't know if you've noticed that.
I do. Yes.
But one of the things I wanted to do is I'm big with theming on cars. So with my LT, with my 675 LT, I made it to be like a tribute to the F1, the McLaren F1.
Yeah.
I love that car. I got to get a drive in it. Me and my two other friends, while we were filming Car Trek, we took an F1. It's like 140 miles an hour. It was a fantastic experience. And I'm never going to be able to do that again. I'm not going to be able to afford an F1 ever in my life. But I can have this car that is like a spiritual successor, sort of, kind of, like second cousin.
It's still a P1 for crying out loud.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenal car.
Yeah. But like with the 675, I made it to look like I made the interior to look like that F1 that I drove, and I have like a custom gauge cluster, and I made a logo that kind of looks like the F1 logo.
Yeah, got it.
So with the P1, I felt that the P1 is a spiritual successor to the F1.
Right. Okay. Yes. So you're gonna theme it. Davy Jones locker.
Yes. So it's going to be yellow submarine. Right?
Yellow submarine. Yellow submarine. Of course it is.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to theme it that way.
Yeah. That's great.
I mean, the car is going to be, I want it to be the real spiritual successor to the F1 in that the F1 was a top speed machine.
Yeah.
The F1 was the fastest car in the world. I think McLaren did themselves a disservice by making this car only a 217 mile an hour top speed. Now, they did this because, in their words, because of tires. Now, we now have the technology to have tires that do 280 miles an hour, whatever they have on the Chiron, the Koenigsegg, all that stuff. If I put different tires on it and remove that speed limiter, in theory, this P1 should do the exact same speed as like a new Speedtail, which is like 255 miles an hour, and VMAX in seventh. Now, it just so happens that where I live, I'm an hour away from Cape Canaveral, which is a 3-mile-long runway where the space shuttle landed. So, and they rent those out so you can do top speed runs. So
I'm coming.
Yeah. So you have an open invite. So what I'm thinking is when I get this P1, and that is a when I get this P1 running, I want to remove the top speed limiter, and then we're going to do all the checks. We're going to make sure everything's safe. And then we're going to try for a record with a P1. Now, it's not going to be the record for, like, you know, fastest car, because, I mean, Bugatti's doing 300 miles an hour.
It's going to be the fastest P1 in the world, though.
It'll be the fastest P1 in the world.
Yeah, it will be.
I love it.
And it will also be a testament to other P1 owners that, you know, this car can do way more than they think that it can.
You're going to have to find somebody to put a brain bucket on and go and do it, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was thinking, I'll probably do it.
Would you?
Yeah, why not?
You built it. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, exactly. I don't want anybody else. I don't want that liability, on my... Here's the thing. If I do it and it works out, it's awesome. And if it doesn't work out and I die, it's not my problem anymore.
That's a very good way of looking at it.
Exactly.
It's quite a thing to be buried in, isn't it?
Not bad, right?
It's a Frank car, isn't it?
Yeah.
We should introduce, I don't know if you've ever met, the legendary car designer that drew that car, Mr. Stephenson.
So I've been DMing him.
Oh, well, I can introduce you.
Oh, yeah.
I can introduce you to Frank. He's one of our bestest friends. He's one of the loveliest guys on the planet, and he probably thinks you're bonkers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I should introduce you to him.
One of the things I wanted to do was an idea I stole from you. And that is when you guys did the Escort Cosworth.
Yeah, the third week.
You went to him and you're like, hey, what's something on this car that got that you wanted to put on but you didn't put? And I wonder if there's something like that in the P1.
There will definitely be because accountants take over and they start knocking back things on cars. So knowing Frank, he's quite out there in terms of his design.
Yeah.
I will hook you up with the legend.
Has he been replying to your DMs?
He did once, but listen, I'm down here now. I got a car. We can make this work. If I have half an hour of I'll treat him to lunch. Whatever.
Oh, he's lovely. Right. So was that good or what?
That was great.
That was great, wasn't it?
You know, Michelle's when you find these cars,
ask him tax advice.
Do you have a time scale of how long you think it's going to take you?
So the big issue with this project is going to be just getting parts. It's just parts
just
acquisition.
The parts.
The parts exist, but they're crazy prices. Right. Mm. So if I can get them within a certain time frame, which is like maybe 2 or 3 months, then I can actually, putting this car back together, not really that hard. Like, this car is super easy to take apart and put back together. And I've done it with my 675. Yeah. I know how these things go back together. P1's actually a lot easier.
Yeah.
So if I can get the parts, then it'll be done by SEMA in November.
Wow.
SEMA. Wow. But that's a big if. Because if I don't get a battery, if I don't get an
arm. Does that inspire you? Inspire you?
Yeah, well, it'll have a 350 Chevy in the back. I mean, that's how it gets.
You could always LS swap. Manual transmission,
LS1 in the back of it.
I feel like we'll need to do a WD special.
We would definitely want to do that, yes.
Yes.
Right, mate, honestly, from all of us at the team here at Wheeler Dealer Podcast, we are going to follow you so eagerly, and we are going to will you on to get this car done. It's going to blow the internet. It's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. And I think you're absolutely bonkers. You're taking on the biggest, most ridiculous project on the internet at the moment. But bless you, because it's people like you that make people like us get inspired. So good luck.
You have no idea how much that means to me. Like, it is insane that I'm sitting here with you. Like, I've watched every episode that you've put out on Wheeler Dealer. And on, like, on the road and trading up. I've seen every season of that.
I'm watching Tavarish 2 on the internet now. Oh, I'm even watching your second YouTube channel. We're now going to take you on the road.
Okay, good.
This will be interesting.
We're going to take you on the road.
Can't wait.
Do you want the red pill or the blue pill?
Oh, do not. That's not a thing you want to say on the internet now.
Which one do you? No, you shouldn't say that. Right, okay, so.
It's at the yellow pill, thanks.
Take the yellow pill, yeah. Right, okay, so here we go. I've got this infinite garage of cars. It's amazing, this infinite garage. You can choose any vehicle you like. I would suggest you choose something that's got 4 seats in it.
Okay.
Because you might want to take some people with you on a journey. Mm-hmm. So if you was to choose any vehicle at all, what would it be?
So I would probably choose the car that I drive every day now, which is a 2015 Mercedes-Benz S65 AMG.
That's a pretty cool car.
We'll accept that.
Yeah, we'll accept that.
Yeah.
AMG, 65 AMG.
It has enough power. It has has 4 seats. Has every option you'd want.
2015 is going to sound mint as well.
I know, it sounds lovely.
What color? Like what those, color?
Yeah, it's white.
White.
Yeah, it sounds like a pod racer in Star Wars.
Yeah,
that's what they sound like.
Yeah.
Just like that. It's a great car.
Okay.
Right. So this car I'm giving you, right? So you can use this car.
Yeah.
And we're going to send you on a journey. But where would you like to start this journey from?
So we could start the journey
anywhere
from
anywhere on the planet.
Okay. Anywhere on the planet. I would probably start from Venice. So Venice is...
You like this thing about cars on the water.
Water.
Yeah. They have to return to whence they came. Yeah.
it's like sitting with Aquaman. It really is. It is, isn't it? It's like
you're a good swimmer.
Anything to do with water. Right,
this
so Venice.
This episode is sponsored by Speedo.
Venice, and then... Because I've taken this trip before, and you can go all around Europe to, the south of Italy. And then you can end up... I mean... if I had to put the car on a boat and then bring it across, then I would go, you know, Northern America, you know, like towards like Wyoming and that sort of thing. Like just go through all the mountain ranges, the Grand Tetons, that sort of thing,
right,
like Yellowstone.
Okay. So here we are. We're in the AMG.
Yeah.
SL65. It's not an SL, is it?
S65.
S65. Yeah. AMG, yeah. White.
Mm-hmm.
You are in Venice. You've set off and you know that you're going to end up in the mountain ranges in Wyoming.
Yeah.
That's your journey. That's where you're going.
Yeah.
Who's sat beside you?
Mr. Mike Brewer.
Yes, no. What a choice.
No way.
Love it. Yes, I'll take that.
Yeah,
really.
I mean, if you do it, you know. There's a lot to talk about.
Don't worry,
seriously,
he's there
I'm
already.
I'm there. That is fantastic. I'm
Mr. Brewer has declined your invitation.
Yes, I'm slightly blushing.
Unfortunately, he booked solid.
You have the car.
I am actually booked quite solid at the moment.
No, right,
so that's really nice. Right, so you got this fat oik next to you, annoying the bejesus out of you. Who's in the back seat?
You can't do something like, you know,
like
a Kardashian, because like I would
you can have a Kardashian,
you can have Kanye West or something like that in the back. I mean, he annoyed a bejesus out here, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
They don't have to get on with Mike. Okay. I mean, you can choose someone,
and they don't
you
have to be alive. You know, they could.
Okay,
be.
So let's say, I don't know, Neil deGrasse Tyson, but then he would just. He's the kind of guy that would, you know, wake you up to tell you he's going to sleep. You know, like. but I think, you know, people that I can like look up to. Honestly, yeah. Like, let's say Neil deGrasse Tyson and Joe Rogan.
Right, love it. Yeah, that's
so there's a bit of a podcast.
That's a bit of a podcast thing going on.
That's a podcast car for sure.
Yeah, it really is.
Everybody there, like,
That really is. There's going to be a lot of nattering on
you
the
won't,
way.
You won't need a radio.
No.
No, but we got to ask if we did have a radio, what would be playing on the radio? What's your go-to?
I'm listening to this band called Polyphia, and Polyphia is a instrumental band, very kind of progressive rock, that sort of thing, but very technical. But I'm good with anything, honestly.
You lost me.
It's panpipe moods, Mike. It's metal panpipes.
Yes. Is it?
Panpipe moods.
It's,
what?
You remember they used to be those?
No. So it's a regular band. No, there's no vocalist.
Give us a tune.
You lost me at progressive.
Oh, give us a tune. Yeah, yeah. And it goes like this. And
is it?
You lost me at progressive. That's really funny.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So I'm going to have to look those up. Right, so that's playing on the radio. Yeah.
Snacks. God, that's snacks. All I'm going
to
hear.
So what are we chumping on?
So snacks. I recently did a trip to SEMA and back in a pickup truck with a bunch of guys, and like all we did was just eat gas station garbage. So
it's jerky, isn't it?
It's gonna be like a combination of jerky and trail mix, and there's a Love's. Like Love's is a big sort of gas station, and they have this nice parfait. They do a really nice parfait, and it has like a strawberry in it. I feel like that's good.
Parfait.
I was honestly, not expecting
there
that.
Is, for sounds anyone posh. Out there, you know, as I say, I lived in America. For anyone out there who doesn't know what trail mix is, let me explain. So there's factories in America that make like Smarties, like we know them as Smarties, and they make nuts and they make other raisins.
Animals.
And then somewhere on the production line, all this shit falls on the floor, and then there's somebody that goes around and sweeps it all up.
Yeah.
Just gathers it all up and puts it in a
bag.
And they sell it at a petrol station. And so it's called trail mix.
It's like the ullage if you work in a bar.
It's absolutely crap. It's just crap in the bag.
Well, nothing in a gas station is going to be good, Mike.
It's crap in the bag. That's trail mix.
Yeah.
This show is brought to you by trail mix.
Have you tasted it then?
Yes, of course I have.
Of course you have.
Simon lives on the stuff. Simon has Sam record this. He eats anything
is it orange?
That's orange.
Is it orange?
Right? Anything
orange?
That's orange. So think of any ill food that's based on the colour orange.
He
that's
eats.
Simon. And if you look at a packet of trail mix, it's just an orange packet of crap.
O'clock.
Are you? Can I just sense check this? Are you sure about this? This is your dream drive. Are you sure? Because you've got a lot of chatterboxes.
Yeah, there is a lot of chatterboxes.
Some trail mix,
some jerky,
and some instrumental music. Are you sure?
Is it chewy?
You
can
have AMG.
Anything you want here.
There's white.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're on the mountain. We're heading towards the mountain range in Miami. It's quite a good journey.
No, you're okay with it, Mike?
I'm quite good. I mean, it wasn't sort of, you know, David Gandhi having Elon Musk and Prince.
Yeah,
you know, it wasn't
stopping
that
for massages. And,
the ego in that car would have been.
It would have been a lot of ego. No, yours is quite a. I kind of like
down
it.
To earth.
I feel like you could use a comedian or a singer or someone in there.
I mean, Joe Rogan's a comedian.
Yeah.
Okay.
He is, yeah. Joe Rogan's quite funny. Yeah, but he's a sort of angry funny.
Controversial comedian.
He's a controversial, angry funny. All right, so here we are on the way to Wyoming. You're snacking down on your jerky and your trail mix.
And your foie gras.
And your foie gras. It's quite farty inside the car, it will be.
Yeah.
So we arrive. We arrive through the mountain range. This has been your best ever car journey you've ever done in your life. It's been absolutely amazing. Unfortunately, when you got the guys out to take a picture, a selfie on that mountain range, some little urchin went and stole your Mercedes.
No, there was a storm, Mike. It washed it away.
A storm washed your Mercedes away. Don't worry, you can buy it back on...
A storm in Wyoming.
You can buy it back on Copart.
Yeah, there you go.
So a storm washed your Mercedes away.
Yeah.
So now you can choose one car and get this. It doesn't have to be a four-seater.
Yeah, you can take just one person back.
You can take one person out of the free mention.
Okay.
Take one person back. Remember, Mike Brewer sitting in the car beside you.
That's right.
Right, you can take one person back.
Uh-huh.
What car is it, and who are you taking back with you?
It's the other car that I drive every day, a 2009 Aston Martin DBS manual.
I very much like that car. That's a very good car.
And me and you would ride off into the sunset.
And it would be me and you, not Joe Rogan.
No.
Get in.
I feel like Rogan has a helicopter and he'll just, figure it out. That's a lot of Spotify money.
That is absolute. What a journey. What a journey. And it would be an honor to share the car with you. Tavares, it really would.
Thank you so much.
It's been such a pleasure to have you on our podcast. It really has. You're a proper car freak. And we love people in the automated space that are doing really challenging things and educating people along the way and challenging yourself and taking this huge gamble. As I said before, we wish you all the very best. We hope it comes off. We want to see you at SEMA.
Sure.
If we're not there in form, we'll be there in spirit and we'll be cheering you on from the sidelines. This has been a fabulous podcast. I've enjoyed every minute of you.
Great.
Yeah, this has been great.
It's been really
so
good,
much,
hasn't
guys.
It? It's been lovely. If you want to see more or hear more from us, then you can find us all online. Where can people find you? People have listened to this on their way to work in the morning. Where can they find you?
They can go to youtube.com/Tavares. Honestly, you just look up McLaren P1 and then you look up the one. The one that's one of these things is not like the other. Yeah, just look at that.
Yeah, you are very, very simple to find all over the internet. Don't forget you can find Mrs. Brewer at Mrs. M. Brewer online, on Twitter, on Instagram, Addie J, Twitter, and Instagram.
Me,
Wheeler Dealer on Facebook, and Mike Brewer on Twitter and Instagram. Please send us your messages. We need your messages because
it's lovely to hear from people.
It's been so encouraging. This is a number one podcast because you put it number one, and we really do appreciate that. And I've enjoyed every minute of that.
Me too. This has been a TBI Media production. And if you'd like to leave a review, 5 stars is always nice, isn't it? Leave us some friendly comments in the comment section and follow the pod.
Thank you very much for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you on the next Wheeler Dealer podcast. Thanks for listening and for being a passenger on the Wheeler Dealer podcast. It was brought to you by Guardex Group, the ultimate vehicle protection solutions provider. Whether you're buying your next car or an automotive dealer, go with Guardex. Visit GuardexGroup.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.